Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, October 6th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, lawmakers scramble to prevent big health insurance premium increases, and St. Paul police officers and the National Museum of African American History. Minnesota lawmakers are calling for a quick fix to the state's troubled individual health insurance market, which is expected to see huge premium increases in January. But with the election just weeks away, House Republicans and Democrats used competing news conferences Wednesday for finger-pointing rather than charting a bipartisan path forward. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said solutions are needed quickly to avoid a health care crisis that he said Democrats have been ignoring.
We need people who are willing to step up and help us solve the problem. We've put forth some real solutions that will help Minnesotans immediately. They're not going to be the silver bullet or the answer to everyone's problems, but it will be a start. But what I need is a Democrat in the state of Minnesota to admit that there's a crisis and to join us in solving that problem.
DFL House Minority Leader Paul Thiessen said he's willing to meet this week to discuss potential health care solutions. But Thiessen also criticized Republicans for failing to act during the past 2 years.
The Republicans have a pattern of waiting to the last minute and then trying to say, oh, man, we have an emergency and we need to solve it. That's what they're doing again. Where have you been for 2 years? That's the question I would ask the Republicans.
State officials say about 5% of Minnesotans, about 250,000 people, currently buy health insurance on the individual market. Most people are covered through employer insurance or public programs. The Army Corps of Engineers says it will start construction on the Fargo-Moorhead flood diversion without a permit from Minnesota. Dan Gunderson reports.
Earlier this week, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources denied a permit for the $2 billion project. The Corps says that won't stop the project from getting underway on the North Dakota side of the Red River. Aaron Snyder is chief of project management in the St. Paul district.
The Corps remains, you know, very committed to this project. It's one of our top priorities, and we're going to move forward with that construction, and we anticipate construction beginning this fall.
Snyder says extensive studies showed the diversion is the only effective means of flood control for Fargo-Moorhead. He says the Corps will continue to work with Minnesota to resolve concerns about the project. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Members of the Minneapolis City Council are chewing over a new study of a minimum wage increase. Researchers at the Roy Wilkins Center at the University of Minnesota estimated that raising the minimum wage citywide to $15 an hour would particularly help people of color and cause little harm to businesses. But council member Lisa Goodman was skeptical that the labor cost increases would be easy for businesses to absorb.
I have a lot of restaurants in my ward, and a 5% increase in their expenses could be the difference between making it and not making it.
City officials also outlined plans to hold community meetings about a possible minimum wage increase starting next month. In August, the council rejected a measure to allow a vote on the proposal mandating a citywide $15 an hour minimum wage. Recent police shootings of African-American men have sparked widespread protests across the country, including here in the Twin Cities. In St. Paul, police are making an effort to ease tensions between law enforcement and the black community. With funding from a local foundation, the department sent several officers and a group of young black men to Washington for the opening of the National Museum of African-American History and Culture. As Emma Sapong reports, all who went say it was a life-changing experience.
31-year-old Derek Sanders was never one to hang out with cops. Far from it.
They pull up on you and they say, hey, you, just run. You know, like, I used to just run.
Sanders' fear of police stems from his East Side childhood. He says cops often stopped him, usually charging him with jaywalking or loitering. After more than a dozen stops, he just ran out of fear. But Sanders' attitude toward police changed recently, after spending a weekend in the nation's capital with some St. Paul officers.
I don't feel the same way that I did before. You know, now I can call the police if I need them.
Sanders is part of the Circle of Peace movement, a program that helped him and others turn their lives around. He was among the four young black men from the program who accompanied nine officers to the opening ceremony of the Smithsonian's African American Museum. It documents 400 years of black history, from the Middle Passage to the March on Washington to Michael Jordan.
It was a range of emotions from guilt to shame to sadness to laughter.
That's Paul Iovino, a deputy chief in the department. Iovino, who's white, says the exhibits on the 1950s and 60s were especially revealing for a veteran cop. Iovino says they get to the heart of the tensions that persist to this day between police and communities of color. That history, he says, is something all officers need to learn.
It is about understanding the black experience in the African-American community and also what role law enforcement has played during some of those moments and certainly during the civil rights movement.
Iovino organized a trip with the Circle of Peace movement. Community activist Russell Ballinger founded Circle of Peace in 2010 in part to help bridge the gulf between police and African-Americans. Ballinger says it took a while to build trust, but officers eventually became regulars at weekly discussions.
From the first day the Circle of Peace movement met, I started saying to the people that were in the room that we needed to invite in the police, that we needed a different relationship with the police.
6 years later, the group decided to travel together to Washington. The St. Paul Police Department got a grant from the Bremer Trust to pay for the flight. For everyone who went, the most emotional part by far was seeing artifacts recovered from a Portuguese slave ship that sank in 1794. Derek Sanders says that exhibit in particular brought a new and visceral understanding of his ancestors' suffering.
Everybody was in tears. It was a lady behind me in tears. I was telling her, it's all right, you know, and then I started tearing up.
Shannon Diedrich, a white officer with 2 years on the force, says it was eye-opening.
All the horrific stories and all the chains and seeing all this untold history that you weren't really told about growing up in history class. I don't think there's any words that can express those moments that you experience going through that museum.
The group also visited the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, which lists more than 20,000 officers who died on the job since 1791. For 21-year-old Joseph Martin, another African-American man who went on the trip, learning about police who made the ultimate sacrifice was also a profound experience.
Seeing all those names, you have no choice but to understand that everybody's a human being. So knowing that they leave their house, they can get killed in the line of duty.
The group went to the memorial with a task. They looked for the 32 St. Paul officers honored there, including James Sackett, a white policeman ambushed in 1970. Two men with ties to black militants were convicted of his murder just a decade ago. Randy Axtell, a second-year officer and the son of Chief Todd Axtell, says visiting both the African American Museum and the police memorial was enlightening for everybody.
We had an opportunity for both sides to have a perspective on where we came from and the struggles we deal with today and have dealt with in the past in our lives and history.
Axtell says this new perspective on history has changed the way he approaches his job, giving him a greater sense of empathy for everyone in the community he took an oath to serve. Emma Sapong, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.